This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Neil Conan in Washington. Tomorrow, join Ira Flatow on Science Friday for a look at animal diseases and human health, plus the oldest human fossils found to date. That's tomorrow on Talk of the Nation. This past April 2nd, just a week before the fall of Baghdad, our next guest wrote an op-ed piece in the Washington Post. Colonel Gary Anderson was one of the retired military men to whom we turned often during our coverage of the war in Iraq. This particular opinion piece caught our eye. In it, Colonel Anderson predicted that the Iraqis would use a protracted guerrilla war to fight their American occupiers. If you've been following the news of the past week or so of attacks of Americans north and west of Baghdad, you have an idea of why we've invited Gary Anderson back to our program today. And Colonel Anderson, good to talk to you again.
Hi, Neil.
In that original op-ed piece, you outlined what you thought would be Saddam Hussein's three-pronged strategic approach after he lost the war itself. Could you run that past us one more time?
Yeah, I thought that perhaps that they really, they, when I say they, I mean Saddam and his people, couldn't not know they were going to lose the war. And I predicted that they would possibly resort to some form of guerrilla action as sort of the the poor man's response to our military superiority.
Now, as you look at what's happening in the towns north and west of Baghdad, places like Fallujah, where I think it's about 15 Americans have died over the past week or so, does that look to you like a guerrilla war?
Yeah, I think classic guerrilla philosophy or theory is, sort of a three-stage approach. And the first stage is hit-and-run attacks and to try to, create cadres and get sympathizers. That looks like what this group appears to be doing. And places like Fallujah are a good place to do that because that's where the probably the strongest Ba'athist support has been traditionally in Iraq. So I would not be surprised to see it there in Tikrit.
Tikrit, of course, is Saddam Hussein's hometown, also north of Baghdad, the so-called Sunni triangle. And that's the community, and obviously, in which he grew up and which he had his strongest support.
Sure. I mean, I would be surprised if the folks in that triangle, particularly the top echelons of the leadership and so forth, the pre-war leadership, were not upset with us. They were the thugs that were essentially the bedrock of the regime, and I think anybody that is surprised that we would not see some resistance there would be, kind of being a Pollyanna about it.
Now, over the past couple of days, an operation called Peninsula Strike has been run in that area. This is involving thousands, about 4,000 American troops, aircraft, including AC-130 gunships and fighter bombers. An Apache helicopter was shot down in that area earlier today. The crew is apparently all right, but big sweeps going on in that area to try to locate supporters of Saddam Hussein and capture caches of weapons. And there was an attack on what's being described, at least by the U.S. military, as a terrorist training camp. All of this seems to give this theory some credence.
Yeah, I think I certainly think they're trying to organize something. I think it's loosely organized. I don't think you're seeing anything approaching the kind of organization that the Viet Cong had at the height of the Vietnam War, but it's a nascent attempt at guerrilla warfare, and this is a good time to nip it in the bud. I'm glad to see them reacting to it strongly, but not overreacting to it. The best way to win a guerrilla war is to take away the cause. Their cause right now is, hey, we want to be back in power. But that's not going to take with the majority of the Iraqi public. I don't even think in that area.
Now, one of the difficulties of coordinating even a guerrilla war is, in fact, coordinating it. It's not easy. You can't broadcast anything on the radio. That's going to be picked up and make you a target, isn't it?
Well, we know now that I would suspect that these guys are taking a page from the book of the Al-Qaeda and these loosely organized operations where they really kind of network and use the civilian phone system or use runners and things like that. It's not hard to coordinate loosely organized attacks, but when you get into something like the second or third stage where you're moving more toward large-scale operations, that's really hard to do without significant public support and in a sanctuary, which hopefully we won't allow them to create.
In the op-ed piece, which you wrote about, and again, this was about a week before the fall of Baghdad, you described the various phases of this operation, and you suspect right now we're in phase two?
No, I think we're in the very early stages of the first phase, the nascent phase of the operation, where they're staging hit-and-run attacks, trying to gain civic support. And that's the time to nip a guerrilla or insurgent campaign in the right before it takes hold. And I think the military side of it is one thing, hunting down these small groups and creating a security atmosphere, but then the second portion of it is to make sure that they don't have a popular base to build on. And the best way to do that, I think, is what Ambassador Bremer is trying to do, which is to show the Iraqi people that there is light at the end of the tunnel and that there'll be a better world after Saddam.
But let's say the American military operations, instead of nipping this in the bud, alienate the population even further. What would be phase two?
Well, any time you have a counter-guerrilla type operation, there's a there's a carrot and a stick approach, and in areas that are very in areas like Fallujah, which are very have a tendency to have a higher portion of the population sympathetic to that sort of thing, you may have to be a little a little bit more harsh on those that are creating that sort of thing. But any guerrilla campaign has two aspects. There's the hearts and minds aspect, and there's the security aspect. If you don't show yourself to be strong, they'll take advantage of it. But if you show yourself to be an oppressor, then you're obviously fueling the fires. It appears to me that the Americans are trying to take a balanced approach to this.
Now, when we spoke with you, obviously you're retired from the Marine Corps, but you were involved in teaching various kinds of programs, and I understand you're still involved in consulting at the Defense Department.
Well, I'm not currently officially advising anybody. If somebody asks me a question, I'll answer it. But I think right now I'm sitting on the sidelines watching like everybody else.
And do you think that from your vantage point and from what you know, and obviously there's a lot of information you don't know, there's intelligence that doesn't come to those who are outside the five-sided building, but from what you've seen, from what I'm gathering from what you say, you think the operation is at least proceeding along the right lines?
Yeah, I think they're doing the right thing. I think they've kept the third ID there. I know we want to eventually get those guys home. They fought a tough war, and we don't want to have them there forever. But I think right now the right thing to do is get a lot of troops, a lot of boots on the ground, and show a heavy patrolling presence, get to know the people, get out in the streets and show that we're in charge and that the thugs aren't going to come back. That's important. It's an important signal sender. And then eventually, the real key to success in any of this is going to be transitioning to an Iraqi constabulary or police-like presence that can take over from us, so our guys can come home and let them build their own country. But you can't do that overnight. It's going to take some transition. It's going to take some training. But I we have to remember that this problem in what you call the Sunni Triangle, which is probably a pretty correct approximation, is one part of the country. There was a big article in the Washington Post that things are going very well in parts of the Shiite or Shia area, such as the Kabbalah area and so forth. So I think we can't blow this out of proportion. We can't ignore it, but we need to make sure that we. I think that the United States deals with it as best they can, it makes a good transition.
Gary Anderson, as always, thanks very much.
Thanks, Neil.
Gary Anderson, a retired colonel in the U.S. Marine Corps who served in Somalia and Lebanon and was with us during the coverage of the war in Iraq. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News.